Transition by Amanda Watkins.
Hello? Hello? Is there anybody there? Where am I? Oh dear, I don't like this. Oh, who's that? Is someone there?
Rachel, is that you?
Oh, Giles, thank goodness. What's going on? Where are we and what's happened to us?
I don't know. It's difficult to make anything out. We seem to be in some sort of fog and I can sort of see you, but you're a bit blurry and wavy.
It looks as though I'm looking at you through water. I thought at first I was dreaming, but we can't both be having the same dream.
Hmm. What's the last thing you remember?
Well, I was upstairs, you just shouted goodbye and I heard the front door slam. Then there was a sort of heavy thudding sound. Oh yes, and then Archie shouted up the stairs that there'd been an accident and you were hurt. I saw you lying on the drive and ran towards the stairs and then it all gets a bit confusing. Something caught my foot after the top step and then I felt myself falling. There was sharp pain on the side of my head and other parts of my body, and then nothing. It all goes blank until just now, when I woke up to find myself wherever we are.
You can't have heard Archie. He left before me. He said he had something to do in town and he'd meet me there.
It was definitely Archie. I know his voice. Presumably you never made it to town.
No, in fact I never reached my car. As I stepped out of the house, my phone rang, so I stopped to answer it. And I heard a sort of scraping sound and then felt a violent wallop on the back of my head and my right shoulder. Then, like you, nothing until just now. We both seem to have been victims of separate accidents.
Well, that's daft. It's not possible, surely. Unless...
What?
You don't suppose...
What?
Well, you don't suppose we're, sort of, well... Dead, do you?
Dead? What do you mean, dead?
Well, what do you mean, what do I mean? Dead? You know, metabolically challenged.
Oh, surely not. I'm...
Yoo-hoo! Who's there?
Hello? We're over here, whoever you are.
Giles, dear boy, I thought I heard your voice. What on earth are you doing here?
Good heavens. Great Aunt Emily. No, it can't be you. You're,
That's right. I popped off nearly 25 years ago, just after you and Rachel got married. How is the dear girl?
Auntie Em? Is that really you?
Oh, dear. You're both here.
Oh, well, I guess that answers my question.
What question?
Never mind. Look, Auntie Em, we don't know what's happened to us or where we are. All we know is that we both seem to have had accidents and now we're in this peculiar state. Not able to move much and we can't make anything out.
Oh, that's just temporary. You're in the transition area.
Transition area?
Yes. You need some time to adjust to your new state of being, as it were. You'll be here for a couple of weeks. That's usually enough time to get you to being less, well, corporeal, if you like.
I don't think I do like...
No, it must be an awful shock for you, and I must say, I didn't think you'd show up for many years. But now that you're here, you may as well start adjusting. You've probably noticed that there is nothing solid about you or your surroundings.
Yes, we can't move much, and we look really blurry, and it's all foggy.
You can't move because you have to learn another way of moving. You can no doubt move your arms and turn your head quite normally.
Yes, but that's it. My legs don't seem to function at all.
They don't need to. There is no ground or floor here. So, just as your brain sends signals to your arms to move, you have to think yourself forwards, backwards or sideways. For example, I entered the transition area and wanted to come over to you, so I just thought myself over here and here I am.
Well, that shouldn't be too difficult.
Actually, it takes quite a bit of getting used to. And you'll notice that as you get more mobile and in control of your movements, you will become clearer. By the time you are crystal clear, you'll be ready to move out of this area and you can wander wherever you like.
Wherever we like? Well, such as where?
Well, you can mill around with other souls like yourself, nip back into the transition area and have a look at any new arrivals, or even pop back to see what's going on in your old earthly world.
You mean we could have a look and see how our nearest and dearest are doing?
We could go to our own funerals.
Well, in theory, yes. But in reality, by the time you have mastered full mobility, most people's funerals have taken place. I don't usually recommend doing that anyway. Going back too soon is never a good idea.
I see what you mean. I wouldn't mind knowing how Archie's coping, mind you. He's been invaluable over the last couple of months, and we were on the verge of signing a really good deal with a television company.
Is this your nephew, Archie? My great-nephew? Your brother Arthur's boy?
Yes, they moved to the States when the kids were young. Archie had a problem settling there. Despite being only 10, muddled his way through school and got into all sorts of trouble. Then he started business studies, but dropped out after a couple of years. Bonded his way across America for a bit, and then decided he really wanted to return to England. He's been with us for a few weeks now, and I must say we've had no problems with him. In fact, he seems to have a really good business head on his shoulders.
I've been following your career, and I'm so proud. Who would have thought that you'd turn out to be a best-selling children's author?
I know, it's a bit of a turn-up, isn't it? As you no doubt know, if you've been keeping an eye on us, I was a copywriter in the advertising business for a while, but I really wanted to write novels. I wrote a few, but all I got were reject slips. I was on the verge of giving up when the notion of a 13-year-old boy assisting his private investigator father struck me. And so Adam Vane was born.
Giles has written 3 Adam Vane books, and they've all zoomed to the top of the children's bestseller lists. In fact, there was a queue outside Waterstones for the release of the last one, and now they've been translated into at least 20 languages. It's been quite exciting.
It certainly has. Archie turned up shortly after that and asked if he could stay until he sorted himself out.
Why did he come to you?
We're his closest relatives, I suppose. And, of course, we're living in a place he visited before they emigrated. Anyway, Arthur has moaned about him over the years, but we've had no trouble. In fact, when my personal assistant and researcher left, he stepped in magnificently.
What, he took on 2 jobs? Just like that?
No, he took on the running of the office, answering the phone, dealing with the post, fielding publicity requests, all that sort of thing. We put an ad in the paper for a researcher, and the perfect girl answered, and fortunately, they worked really well together. I just made a start on book number 4.
You were on your way to meet a couple of people from a television company, weren't you?
Yes, in fact, this is one of the few things Archie and I have disagreed about.
In what way?
Well, after the success of the first book, offers began coming in from other publishers. One or two wanting to turn it into a cartoon and film and television offers. But I didn't think we were ready for that, and I definitely didn't want Adam Vane to become a cartoon or comic. However, after the third book, I felt we could certainly look seriously at television offers. But Archie was keen to go for film.
What's wrong with film? It worked for Harry Potter.
I know, but they wanted to condense the first 3 books into 1 film, whereas one of the television companies were keen to serialise each book, thereby staying true to the books. I felt too much would be lost with just 1 film. But Archie seemed to think that it would do well at the box office, and there'd be a lucrative merchandise as well.
So, who won?
We decided to meet representatives from both sides and hear what they had to say, although I really didn't want to go with film.
Oh, well, it doesn't really matter now, does it? Do you think Archie will go ahead with some sort of deal?
He'd be daft not to. And let's face it, dying is said to be a brilliant career move. It's a pity, though, as I felt there were a few more Adam Vane books in me.
Well, when you have left transition, you can always pop back and see what's happened.
Ah, there you are, Emily.
Yes. Look who's here, Wilfred. It's my nephew, Giles, and his wife, Rachel.
Oh, yes, so it is. I spend a lot of time in your garden.
Do you? Why?
Don't you know, Giles? This is Wilfred, who was the head gardener at the Laurels when I lived there. Well, for most of the time, anyway. He died shortly before I did.
That's right. I worked that garden since I was 14. My old dad was head gardener before me. Loved it, I did. So I've been keeping an eye on it ever since. I like to see all these here newfangled machines they have now to do the gardens.
I hope you like what we've done with it, Wilfred. I love that garden.
It's all right.
Oh, high praise indeed from Wilfred. Anyway, we digress. You two need to practice moving and adjusting. Then you'll be able to pop back and see what Archie has decided to do, if anything. He may just fold up the whole enterprise, sell up and go. Who did you leave your estate to?
Well, Rachel and I both left our assets to each other, never realising that we would exit together.
Hang on. Did you say Archie? You haven't let that wastrel get hold of your business, have you?
Why do you call him a wastrel, Wilfred? He's been a great help to me, and he's been good company, too.
Oh, yes, he's a charmer, all right. Charm the birds out of the trees, he would.
Well, I think you're being a little harsh, Wilfred. Archie has been working very hard. He seems to have finally found his niche in life.
Oh, he found that some time ago.
What do you mean?
I bet you didn't know that he was very friendly with the girl who works at your place before she started there.
With Sharon? Surely not. He introduced himself when she came to be interviewed.
I'm telling you, he knew her. Saw them out in that contraption he drives with no top on it.
Oh, yes, that's my Morgan. Are you sure it was the same girl?
Oh, aye, it was her, all right. They're always driving them out together. Then they pull into lay-bys or go to her flat in town and look at papers and all sorts of things they have in envelopes. I've had a suspicion about him ever since I saw him talking into that squarish thing that he holds up to his ear.
That's called a mobile phone, Wilfred. It means you can make and receive phone calls wherever you are.
Oh, I thought it was something like that. And thought it was odd he left the house to do it. So I got close and had a listen.
And?
And I swear he was putting bets on horses. Whoever he was talking to can't have been very pleased, because I heard Archie say of course he'd be able to pay up, and if they just put this bet on, he'd settle the account in a few days. I don't think they did, because he threw the device across the car and drove off. I've been keeping an eye on him ever since.
Wilfred, you never said...
Well, you've been off jogging around for ages.
Fair enough.
So then what, Wilfred? What else did you see?
Well, he's up to all sorts, he is. I followed him down a back street in town a couple of weeks ago. He knocks on a door. A nasty piece of work grabbed him and pulled him inside and threatened to punch his lights out if he didn't pay up. There were two more blokes inside. Seems to me Archie owes them lots of money. And he had to brass neck to ask if he could borrow a bit more. And he would definitely be able to pay them back soon.
What? We didn't know any of this. And Arthur never said he had a gambling problem when I spoke to him.
I wonder what he meant when he said he'd be able to pay them back soon.
I think we need to find out what's going on here. I'll do a bit of snooping and report back if I find anything. Keep practicing thinking and moving, you two. Bye.
Oh, well, I might as well have a look and see if I can help. See you later.
Now what? We just have to wait here, I suppose.
Well, we don't have that many options to us at the moment, do we? We may as well use the time trying to master this moving business. Hey, look at that. I'm pretty sure I've moved to the left. What do you think, Rachel?
Well, if you have, it can't be more than 6 inches. And you aren't getting any clearer.
No, nor are you. Auntie was right. It's more difficult than it sounds. It must be hours since she and Wilfred left. I wonder what's going on.
Do you really think Archie's been up to no good? I thought he came to us for a roof over his head and a job, which we gave him.
If what Wilfred says is true, and I don't doubt him for a second, it looks as though he has quite a gambling problem. You and I being off the scene won't help matters.
I wonder.
What do you mean? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, we've never had any reason to question Archie or to suspect that he was anything other than on the level, but now... When Wilfred said Archie told those thugs he'd be able to pay them back soon, well, why would he say that? And doesn't it strike you a bit odd that we both had catastrophic accidents at the same time?
You don't think... No, it's not possible, surely.
Hello, you two. How are you getting on? Any progress?
I thought I'd moved a bit, but maybe not. But never mind us. Have you found out anything interesting?
I rather think I have, Giles. And it's more interesting than we thought possible.
Really? Well, come on, Auntie Em. Spill the beans.
Well, for a start, Archie isn't Archie.
What do you mean Archie isn't Archie?
He's an imposter. The real Archie's floating about happily on a boat island hopping in the Indian Ocean.
What's he doing there? And how do you know, anyway?
I've been following who we thought was Archie and the girl, Sharon, and trying to find out as much as I can. I heard him telling Sharon that it won't be long before they could get their hands on the money, and the sooner the better, because he didn't know how long it would be before the real Archie turned up.
And then what?
They went to the Flying Horse for a meal and had quite a bit of wine. She was giggling and asked him to tell her about how he took Archie's place. It seems that Archie had got himself over to Australia and was, what do you call it, backpacking, and staying in hostels and the like, and would tell anyone who'd listen that his uncle was Giles Strong, who had written the Adam Bain books. That caught the attention of Rob Pargeter, a gambler and con man who was trying to stay out of the way of people he owed money to.
So this Rob Pargeter is passing himself off as Archie?
Indeed. He befriended Archie, and when Archie said he was heading for the UK, he suggested they travel together. And that's when Rob hatched the plan to replace him. He had no trouble getting Archie to talk about his family.
And you heard all this while they were having dinner at the Flying Horse?
Yes, that far away. Then we followed them back to the house.
Our house?
Yes. Well, pseudo-Archie was staying there anyway, and Sharon has almost moved in.
The nerve!
They opened another bottle of wine when they got back.
What? My wine? Oh, if only I could get my hands on him.
Oh, it's worse than a couple of bottles of wine, Giles. He was waving some papers about and saying what they should really be drinking, champagne. And he would never have got the power of attorney signed without her help.
What? He's got power of attorney? Well, the advance for my next book had just gone into the bank. It was huge because they wanted the book out for Christmas. How did he do that?
Most days she'd bring you a pile of letters and papers to sign. All she had to do was slip the forms in amongst that lot one day and hope you would just sign automatically.
Clearly I did.
He was getting really talkative now. And it seems that when he and Archie got up to Darwin, they thought they'd look for a cargo ship and work their way across to Indonesia. But Archie got very friendly with a girl whose family had taken a year out and were planning to sail across to Papua New Guinea and then up to the Philippines, which would take ages. They asked Archie if he'd like to go with them as crew. Rob said of course Archie should go. He then had an amazing bit of luck in a casino, which got him enough money for his fare to England.
And then he came straight to us.
And we had no reason to doubt he was Archie. He chatted away about various family members and occasions. He was so plausible.
Well, that's all part of being a con man, isn't it?
Oh, Rachel, what did you do then?
What do you mean?
Well, you just went a bit wobbly and faded in and out.
I did feel a bit odd. And you seem to be getting a bit blurry, are you?
Oh, ho, have I been finding things out? He's a bad one, is that, Rob?
That much we know, Wilfred. Aunt Emma's told us he's a con man.
Oh, is that all right? And more.
Well, come on, Wilfred, what have you found out?
Well, this morning... You do know it's morning now, don't you? Rob and the girl Sharon were feeling a bit delicate, if you know what I mean.
Yes, we do. They had a surfeit of my wine.
Yes, well, they were sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee when Rob said he'd better get dressed and hide the evidence. Sharon said, what evidence? And he said, You didn't really think Giles and Rachel both had accidents at the same time, did you?
I knew it! Oh, Giles, you faded a bit then. Are you trying to move again?
No, I'm not doing anything.
I need to check something out. Carry on with your explanation, Wilfred, and I'll be back shortly.
All right. Funny woman. Anyway, I can't rightly say that I understand all of this, but he said he'd managed to loosen one of those concrete balls above the front porch and push it to the edge. Then, when you left the house, he was waiting round the side of the house with a... what was it? A dome? A phone? Or something?
You don't mean drone, do you?
Ah, that's it, yes. A drone. Well, he phoned your mobile thingy so that you'd stop just as you stepped out of the door. And then he flew this here drone so that it knocked the ball down onto you. That's how you got walloped.
So he flew a drone at the concrete ball, which made it fall on me, and then, presumably, he called up to Rachel to say I'd been injured, and then what?
I didn't see it, but I heard him say that he'd taken the wire from the stairs, and he was going to hide the wire and that drone in the shed.
So he put the wire at the top of the stairs, confident that I'd come running down because you'd had an accident. That way he could literally kill two birds with one stone.
Yes, but we can't do anything about it, can we? We know what's happened, but we can't be seen or heard, nor can Wilfred or Auntie Em. Oh, that was odd. Did you nudge me, Rachel?
No, it wasn't me, but you do look a bit odd. Well, odder, if you see what I mean.
Good news, everyone.
Oh, so you've decided to return, have you? Where have you been? We've just established how their so-called accidents happened.
Yes, well, I guessed they weren't real accidents.
But what can we do about it? It looks as though Rob will get away with it.
Not necessarily. As long as you can remember everything Wilfred and I have told you, Rob will get his comeuppance.
I don't think I'll ever forget what's happened. But there's nothing we can do about it now that we've been dispatched to the happy hereafter, is there?
Emily, what are you doing? Building up their hopes.
I'm not. Look at them, Wilfred. What's been happening to them while I've been away?
Well, they've been looking a bit unstable. A kind of wobbly and that.
Exactly. So I went back and drifted over to the hospital, and all is not lost. I knew they were here too soon.
What are you talking about, woman?
Wait. Look.
What's happening?
I've got a pulse.
Ow, I felt that.
Felt what? Giles, you're fading. Don't go. Please don't leave me. Ouch! Oh, that hurt.
Sinus rhythm normal. Heartbeat stabilising.
That's what I came to tell you. You're not actually dead. They've been working on you and it looks as though you're going back. You both have concussion and a few broken bones, but you'll make it. Just remember.
Oh, Aunt Em, we will, I'm sure. Thank you, and thank you, Wilfred. I hope I never forget all this. You will come and see us, won't you?
Of course. Just try and stop us.
Yes, thank you, you two. Do call by. Not that often, mind.
And Rachel, that side bed needs weeding. Don't forget now.
I won't, Wilfred. I promise.
They've gone, Em. Do you think they remember?
Oh, yes. And anyway, the power of attorney will be useless now. I'll pop down to the hospital and have a quick look. Then I'm off to a bridge convention in Florida.
You and your bridge. I think I'll go and see what that Monty Don is doing. His carrots have come up just nicely. And he's going to have a lovely crop of beans this year. And you know that young Titchmarsh fella? Well, he's writing a book as well. Just like your Giles has done.
Transition was a Bare Bones Theatre production with the following cast. Rachel was played by Jane Jones. Giles by Tony Hearn, Emily by Jeanette Bennett, and Wilfred by Gordon Stewart. Recording and production by Dave Baldwin.